Dr. Ellen Brunton, a professor at Harvard Medical School, recently published an article on the effects of all the events of this past year and what those effects might be on us. She diagnosed this as being a time that we have experienced trauma. And then she offered her thoughts on how we can recover from what we have faced. She writes that healing begins by acknowledging where we are, what we have lost, and how the events of the past year have influenced our lives. Second, she writes, we have to accept that the world has changed, and therefore we likely need to change in order to begin to heal. Denial or suppression will not lead to healing. Third, Professor Broughton says we need to revisit and likely revise the hopes and aspirations we have for ourselves, and that by working on these things, the healing process can be accelerated. And so, as mentioned earlier, our topic for today is taking a look in the mirror at ourselves from a spiritual perspective and acknowledging where we are, what might need to change, and what we want to accomplish going forward. To help us with our self-reflection, we're going to visit seven churches that Jesus assesses in the book of Revelation. Jesus held up a mirror, so to speak, to each church and said, "Take a look, see what I am seeing." Now, we don't usually spend a lot of time in the book of Revelation because it can be hard to understand since it was written using vivid imagery. But Revelation was intentionally written that way because at that point in history, the early churches were experiencing their own trauma. And it was much safer to communicate through imagery than it was to speak plainly. You see, the powerful Roman Empire ruled over most of the known world at that time, and worshiping Caesar and the pagan gods were expected. Jerusalem had been overrun and much of the city destroyed by the Roman army a few years earlier for rebelling against Caesar. And those of the Jewish faith were trying to squelch this new Christian movement that an increasing number of people were starting to follow. So the early churches were facing persecution, sometimes life-threatening persecution, on every front. But the words of Jesus in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation are not hard to understand. Jesus speaks plainly to these churches in Asia Minor. They were all founded by the Apostle Paul or one of his contemporaries, so they ranged in age from roughly 25 to 40 years old at this time, similar in age to Crosswinds. Geographically, they were close together, only about 100 miles apart at the farthest point. But they were in very different places spiritually. The message to each church follows a pattern. Each begins with Jesus telling John, the writer of Revelation, to the church at, then the city is named, write these words. Then there are words of praise for all but one of the churches. Those are followed by words of admonition for five of the seven churches, things that needed to change for the church to be what it needed to be. And finally, each message ends with Jesus saying, "Whoever has ears, let them hear," indicating that, yes, the message was for the collective church, but also for the individual members of the church. And they were for all of us that would later read the words that Jesus instructed to be written down. Well, let's begin with the two churches that Jesus praised but did not admonish in any way. There was the church in Smyrna. At this point in time, the city of Smyrna was almost 500 years old. The city still exists today and is now called Izmir, the third largest city in Turkey. This beautiful, bustling seaport had many pagan temples, including ones built for Apollo and Zeus. And those large, impressive temples stood in sharp contrast to the small, humble meeting place of the early Christian church. In New Testament times, Smyrna was known for ceremonial public emperor worship, and anyone that refused to participate like the small early Christian church, did so at their own peril. Furthermore, there was a large Jewish population in Smyrna that severely persecuted the early church. Historians are not sure what happened to most of the seven churches we are taking a look at today, but they tell us this one was around for at least another 150 years. And as an incredible legacy, eventually half of Smyrna identified as Christian up until 100 years ago, when most of the Christians fled during the Greco-Turkish War, which left the city predominantly a Muslim community. Jesus praised this heavily persecuted church for withstanding hard times and poverty, and he encouraged the church to remain steadfast in their faith and to not be afraid, because the hard times would pass. Then there was the church in Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia was more of a blue-collar city, and it was known for grapes, textiles, and leather goods. It sat on the border of three countries and was originally built by the Greeks as a missionary city. The Greeks wanted the citizens of Philadelphia to spread the Hellenistic culture and language to the neighboring countries. Jesus also acknowledged their geographic location, saying they were at a gateway of opportunity, not for spreading Hellenism, but for sharing the gospel. Jesus praised this church for remaining steadfast in their faith, and Jesus encouraged them to hold on to what you have. And we know from historical accounts that this struggling church did hold on for at least another 60 years, probably longer. Then we have the other five churches. There was the church in Ephesus, a major port city on the Aegean Sea. Commercially, Ephesus was a very important city, as it was located at the intersection of three major trade routes. Ephesus was also a religiously important city, with beautiful temples built for various Roman gods, one of which was the goddess Diana. This temple was named one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. This was a successful and proud city. The Christian church in Ephesus was founded and led by important leaders of the early church. The Apostle Paul, who spent a total of 3 years there, which was longer than he stayed at any of the other early churches. Timothy, Priscilla and Aquinas, the Apostle John, and the church flourished. But when it was time to look in the mirror, Jesus said, "Look, you are a church that works hard and perseveres in times of hardship. You test the teachings of others and you don't tolerate falsehoods. But," Jesus said, "you have lost the love you had at the beginning." This church had evolved into orthodoxy, and that had led to self-righteousness and finding fault with others. So Jesus said, "I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love of others you once had, the very love that led to your growth and prosperity." Then we have the church at Pergamum, a major cultural hub and the capital of the Roman province. Pergamum was a sophisticated city known for its extensive library of around 200,000 handwritten books, which was extraordinary for those times. In fact, there was such a demand for writing material there that this is where parchment was invented. This was another city that practiced emperor worship as well as ritual prostitution. Jesus praised the church at Pergamum for not denying their faith despite living in a difficult environment. But he also admonished this church for allowing false teachings to creep in, including a teaching that they could live just like everyone else in the city. After all, they reasoned, grace would cover any sins committed, wouldn't it? Jesus reminded this church that they were called to live by a different set of moral values than the world around them. Then there was the city of Sardis, which was located high up on a plateau and was so well fortified that it had been able to withstand major invasions throughout history, including one by Alexander the Great. The people of Sardis felt very safe, and they relished reliving the glory of the earlier days. This city was known for its decadence and luxury seeking. What happens in Sardis stays in Sardis. There was a certain peace in the city, but it came from being apathetic. Nothing was worth fighting over when there was pleasure to be had, and so there was peace. The early church in Sardis was doing well materially, but not spiritually. Theologian F.F. Bruce writes that this church was Christian in name only at this point. Bruce says that it was a church, much like the city around it, that glorified its past more than its future, loved its traditions so much that it would never try new things, and was more concerned about material things than the spiritual needs around it. Jesus started his message to this church by saying they had a good reputation, but that it was no longer deserved. Jesus admonished the church to wake up and to have some passion about their faith before it totally fade away. Then there was Thyatira, the smallest and least important of the seven cities from an economic standpoint. This was not a particularly religious city, so there was no external threat to this church like there was in many of the other cities. Instead, the threat to this church came from inside the church. Now, Jesus praised this church for its charity, faith, and service. But this was a city where people did not have deep spiritual convictions, whether they were Jews, pagans, or Christians. Jesus admonished them for just going through the motions of being a church, and he reminded them that the church was to take a stand for what was right. Finally, there was Laodicea, a very prosperous city known for its banking industry, medical school, and trade. This was a modern city since it had been rebuilt after an earthquake had destroyed much of the old city just 30 years earlier. After the earthquake, the city was able to refuse any aid from Rome and to rebuild the city out of its own great wealth. They believed that money could fix just about anything, and that made them feel very secure. Because the members of this church shared in the economic prosperity of the city, they did not want to make any waves. Things were just fine the way they were. Jesus did not praise this church for anything. He simply said, "I know your deeds, and you are neither cold nor hot." Lukewarm is the word used in some Bible translations. This church was lacking zeal for anything. And so Jesus exhorted this church to humble itself and to open the door to him. So now we look in our spiritual mirror. Where do we acknowledge we are? What is going well, and what might we need to change? The things that Jesus praised are obviously important to God, since they were identified as good attributes of the churches we looked at today. So do you see some things that might be said about you? Do you see things that might be said about Crosswinds? You have withstood difficult times and financial hardships. You are at a gateway of opportunity. You are faithful. You work hard and persevere. You test to find what is true. You have not denied your faith even in difficult circumstances. You have a good reputation. You live out charity, faith, and service. And what about the admonitions we covered? Are there any of these that we might need to do something about? You have lost some of the love that you had at first. You are to live by higher values than the culture around you. Your good reputation is no longer deserved Wake up. Have some passion. Stand up for what is right. You are neither hot nor cold. Is there anything here where you might be falling short of where you believe you should be? Anything here that Crosswinds should be doing better? So where do we want to be? Where are our hopes and aspirations for going forward? Now, a common response we've probably all said over the past year is, I just want things to go back to the way they were. But is that really possible? Over the past year, have we come to better understand just how many people can suddenly find themselves struggling with job loss and hunger? Have we lost someone that we loved? Are we more aware of our own mortality? Has our appreciation for other members of our society, healthcare workers, first responders, grocery store workers, changed? Do we have some new heroes that should be appreciated and supported in some way? Have we become more aware of racial inequities in America? More aware of the prejudice and even hatred in our community and country? Are we concerned about the sharp divisions on so many issues in our country? Have we come to appreciate even more the opportunity to meet together and to work together as a church? So is it even possible then for us as Christians to just go back to where we were before this past year happened? Or do we need to be something more, inside or outside the walls of our church, than we were before? I must say that I have become aware, after living through this past year, that I personally need some spiritual reviving, and then some spiritual growth. If you are feeling that way too, I would suggest that we start individually by focusing on just one of the things that Jesus talked about. So which one? Well, I would say it is probably the one that struck you in some way as we went through these words of Jesus today. The one you can still remember without seeing the list on the screen. And I pray that God will lay on my heart and that God will lay on your heart what he wants us to become, and that we are willing to rise to the challenges of being God's people in a changed world. Amen.